from spirit to spirit, soul to soul, self to self, greetings of love from the island of Maui. I hope you had a glorious Easter and want to thank you for the many beautiful letters that I have received from you and some telephone calls sharing the unfoldments that have occurred within you during the past 2 months. This has now become a very exciting inner pilgrimage. And the experiences recounted to me indicate that we are moving toward our destination. It is not only encouraging, but one can feel that we have passed the stage of just words. There is tissue, there is strength. Something is happening, and you know it, and I know it. We have news about the seminar next year. It's going to take place on the island of Kauai, known as the Garden Island. And it's going to begin on a Thursday evening, March 23rd, which is Maundy Thursday. Continues on Good Friday, which is March 24th, through Sunday, March 26th, through Monday, and finally, after 5 nights and 5 days, ends on the morning of March 28th. So that's March 23rd to March 28th. A total of 10 classes over those 5 days. We feel very fortunate in the seminar site that has been discovered. It's a relatively new project, and it overlooks Hanalei Bay on the island of Kauai, and it's called Princeville at Hanalei. And it is right there that some of the scenes in South Pacific were filmed for the movies, if you recall. Also, the accommodations are really superb. And I'm quite sure that when you receive your announcements in early July, that you will be very, very pleased with all of the arrangements that have been made. As a matter of fact, that area is so lush, so beautiful, and the air and everything about it is so beyond description that I feel many of you will never want to go home again. So look for your announcements, invitations, in July, just about after the 4th. We have been moving on an inner journey which ends in sonship realized, which is really a new beginning. That is the beginning of living in infinity. And on this journey, we have only one adversary, and that is the universal belief that God and man are two separate beings. The Hindus have the word Maya, and in its broadest sense, Maya tells us that this world is a veil of illusion, and that illusion covers the hidden universe, the hidden universe of perfect spirit. We are moving to that hidden universe. Moses only referred to a phase of Maya when he called the veil the mist. And it was Jesus who pierced that veil and taught us how to awaken from the dream of a life that dies. There is no such thing. He taught us how to live in ourselves, not in bodies, not in tombs of flesh. And his exceptional demonstrations were so advanced that even today, what he taught makes us gasp with unbelief. We can hardly believe it. We can hardly accept it. It is above us, beyond our possibility of attainment. We never even associate attainment of that demonstration that he made with our own selves. But that is the transition in consciousness through which we are all walking today. We are following the Master within, the Master who teaches us to worship life, not death, the Master who furnishes us with an infallible guide to eternal life under grace. The Master who lights an invisible pathway to the kingdom of perfection surrounding us all now. Literally, we have been given the keys to the kingdom. And that is a kingdom of power, of peace, of plenty, of love, of joy that never fades. Peace that never ends. In bodies of spirit that never age and that never need repairs. We are never going to face an energy crisis in sonship. Up to a certain point, our minds have been too conditioned to recognize ideas that have been presented in a unique way. In fact, too often in our search, we look for the words of Scripture. We think the words will open our eyes, and we overlook the vital role that pictures play in the Christ message. Can you think of a million words that could say more than the empty grave of Jesus? There, in one symbol that is unforgettable, without words, we learn the mystery of life, and there we find the climax of 3 years of teaching, demonstrating that life is not contained in a human form. That is a teaching beyond words. It's a teaching that no human being could ever give us. It didn't come from a man. It came from the infinite consciousness which alone can demonstrate the non-existence form and of death. Think for a moment, how can you place the life of God in a grave? Is there another life? Are you the Son of God? Or are you the son of the carpenter? Are you the light of God? Or do you claim another life separate from God? That empty grave is divine evidence of your immortality right now. Every time you think of that grave, try to remember the revelation by the Son of God that the life of you, the Son of God, is independent of the human form. And then unwaveringly, uninterruptedly, trust that independent life to always be alive, to always be functioning right where you are. That's part of the message of the empty grave. There was another important picture symbol, and that was of Jesus riding triumphantly into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass. You remember it. Here again, without words, Spirit reveals how to break the hypnosis of matter. The jackass is a stubborn human mind, clinging to its material concept of life, even though that concept can never fully satisfy and always ends in death. The colt represents your soul, your reborn consciousness, which knows that the life of God is your life and trusts that life to be perfect now and forever. Then Jesus, riding the colt, is Christ leading your soul. That symbolizes your acceptance of Christ's identity and letting Christ lead your soul into the hidden spiritual universe. The entry into Jerusalem is your attainment of the consciousness that there is only one being and that your invisible self is that one being. Always now. Now let's see how much of this you caught during your work these past 2 months. Right now, this instant, know this, only God is everywhere. All across the globe, nothing else is present but God. All time stops. All place disappears. All that is God. And when you know this, feel within that you do know this, the truth you are knowing at this moment is always true. All there ever is God. Here, there, everywhere. And as you know that, you're not concerned about an energy crisis, even though you will cooperate with it. You're not concerned about diseases and disasters, even though they appear to the human eye. Only God is now. And just as important as knowing it, and even more so, is your willingness to trust that truth against any appearance without trying to change the appearance. Make your unconditional surrender to that truth. And you will see the strength of your inner being take control without any human effort. If you're in an airplane running into foul weather, if the drought is severe in your area, if there are floods rampaging beyond control, stop. Wait a minute. Only God is here now. Establish that silent conviction in your consciousness until you feel merged into soul. And your soul will say to the flood, the drought, and the foul weather, "Fear not, it is I." That will be your newborn soul consciousness riding into paradise, just as Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on a colt. When you surrender unconditionally to the truth that right now God, Spirit, is the only being everywhere, you are going beyond your mental capacities. You are going into your infant soul capacities. You are awakening from the dream. Unconditional surrender means without edging. I consciously refuse to exercise human will. And daily I turn myself over to the living consciousness of God is. And say to that God self, live your life as the activity of my mind and my body, and then listen joyfully, continuously, to the marvelous ways that Spirit moves your obedient soul. Watch how your actions become an outgrowth of your soul consciousness. Watch how all the elements of your life come under grace. Jesus exemplified total obedience to the inner Christ. Why, nothing else could intervene. The Jesus mind was the Christ mind, never seeking self-gratification, never seeking the praise of men. In fact, never seeking anything of this world for a human selfhood. That was a virgin mind. It entered the world without human desires, without human concepts, without the concept of lack or limitation, heredity, sickness, or evil, without the belief in death. And it revealed to us another world, right here, where ungodly things do not exist. That immaculate Christ mind revealed an immaculate universe, which can be discovered only by your soul. In the picture symbol of Lazarus emerging from the tomb, we see something about that soul universe that we must now discuss. Here is Lazarus emerging from a tomb, his hands and his feet are bound with grave clothes. His face is covered with a napkin. He's been dead. That is, he's been dead, at least to human sense, for 4 days. Now, he's alive. No words needed. without words again, we are given an insight that is astonishing into our own spiritual possibilities. Lazarus reborn is a mystical symbol of your consciousness and transformation. The 4 days of Lazarus entombed are the 4 states of human evolution: mineral, vegetable, animal, human. And all of these 4 days, these 4 levels of consciousness, are spent in the lower worlds of matter, under the government of world thought. In the 4 material states of man, there is no God government, only the government of world mind. And so Lazarus dies. The old Lazarus, the one who goes into the tomb, represents the natural man, asleep to his identity as Son of God, and living even a successful human life, but buried within the false limitations and the boundaries of his human mind, like all of us. But the new Lazarus, is the essence of God, no longer human flesh. Lazarus has been transformed to soul substance. And now when Lazarus steps out of the belief in mortality, we see him emerge from the mental tomb of flesh, still carrying the remnants of his old dream consciousness represented by the grave clothes. He is now entering the 5th day of consciousness, which is the first heaven on earth. And this level is one that he has gained not from the intelligence of his 5-sense mind, but from faith in the deeper inner vision of his soul, led by Christ. That's why his eyes are covered. They cannot see the 5th realm. He has arrived there by faithfulness to his identity as Spirit, Son of God, in spite of all world belief that he was nothing more than a mere human being. Just like you and I, he has worked, and he has walked out of the universal belief in material birth, life, and death. He has tried to live in his essence rather than in a physical sense of form. He has worshipped one being, and he has accepted himself as the life of that one being. He has eliminated all belief in external images of matter. Now, he is about to see the one being face to face with the eye of his soul. That is why Christ now says, "Loose him. Let him go." This is mystical terminology. This is a divine instruction telling us to remove the grave clothes of mortality and materiality from our hands, feet, and faces, and to walk this earth as the living essence of God, which is called Christ, Son of God, knowing only God is here. Pictures tell us that Lazarus, stepping out of the dream, is a representation of your soul journey from form to essence. your temporary sense of human life to your permanent awareness of eternal life. And then, the all-important key to how this resurrection was attained is given shortly thereafter, when we see the very same reborn Lazarus supping at the table of Christ. His secret was he had learned how to let Christ feed his soul. Let us, in meditation, see if we can remove the bandages from our eyes and the grave clothes from our hands and feet. Your eyes are closed because for 4 days, four levels of consciousness, you have been in the tomb of matter. Actually in a dream which is now about to come to a new beginning. We are turning ourselves over from mind to soul, and we do that by a simple method. Just rest your mind. When you rest your mind, your omnipresent soul takes over. You never have to seek your soul. You never have to wonder, where is it? It is here. It is now. All that is necessary is for you to rest your mind. And you are in your soul. The degree of your silence determines the degree of soulness that you attain. But the beauty of resting your mind does not stop as your soul now becomes active in consciousness, because Christ is always leading your soul. And so you are surrendering to a greater, more infinite activity than you could possibly know until you had sought this inner peace of the mind. Now Christ is leading your soul out of mortality, out of the tomb. What are those grave clothes on your hands and feet? The belief that you are in a form and you are not. You never were. The Son of God is not encased in a form. This moment, this eternal moment everywhere, only God is. Right where you are, only God is. And so we leave the mind belief in form. Only myself is here. My perfect spiritual selfhood is the only being. Now, where is that old man you started with? Loose him. Let him go. And now release your new self. Loose your new self and let it go into the greater universe of spirit, which is your true home. Rest there. Feel the presence of purity, of harmony, of peace, of all that the Father is. This is just a preview experience. As it is repeated and deepened and takes root, you will know for a certainty that the resurrection experience occurs right here on earth as your soul opens itself to the bread of heaven, which then flows freely into your purified consciousness. Hold it now. You are in a very excellent position at this moment. An excellent moment to quicken into another mansion of awareness. And so remain there on the mountaintop. Let us now go to Bethlehem. I don't mean a physical place called Bethlehem, where the boy Jesus was born, but I mean a spiritual place where you are reborn. Bethlehem means the house of bread, divine bread, divine food for your soul. Like Jesus, we are also born in Bethlehem when we yield our human thought, when we yield our human will, our human desires, and we let Christ feed eternal bread, eternal substance to our soul. You are on the threshold of a great truth. Never lose it. It will take you into paradise. This divine feeding is the method, the technique, the secret of all transformation from form to essence and from death to life. The transforming holy bread which feeds your soul is the living word. It is the supreme gift through which the will of God molds your divine essence into the perfect image and likeness of the one infinite being, individualizing itself as you. All of God flows as the Son of God, the Christ, the infinite essence which you are. That is why many Bible passages always stress and re-stress Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The world's mistake has been to assume that the Son of God means a superhuman person or one specially endowed But now you must know that Son of God has nothing to do with people. Son of God means the divine essence. Honor the Son means be the Son, and that is the life-giving extra step that we are now being asked to take. You are the Son of God now because you are the divine essence now. The supreme and hidden message of the Bible is that Christ, the Son of God, is the essence of God, and that you are the Son of God, the essence of God. And your ability to live as the essence of God quickens you into paradise. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That is not a man talking. The living essence of God called Christ is talking. Again it says, as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom it will. The Son quickeneth whom it will, not whom he will. Do you hear that? What quickens you? The living essence quickens you. The living essence that feeds your soul quickens you, and that essence flows into your soul, into your conscious experience, when two factors are present. You must learn to take these two factors with you into your daily life. Now let's expand the good work you've been doing. Let us implant these two specific factors into your daily conscious activity. Number one, and this is you talking, because I am the Son of God, I am the essence of God. That eternal essence I am now. I accept this truth unconditionally, even though at this moment I have not yet attained the full realization of it. Is my faith. This is my conviction. Implant that now. I, Son of God, am the eternal essence of God. Whenever my mind or my experience denies it, I still stand on the truth of it and look at that which denies it unmoved. Who convinceth I, the Son, the essence of sin? Factor number two. I follow only the teaching of my own essence. which is Christ, because I have found the secret of life. I am a soul in Christ. I am a soul in Christ. And Christ feeds my soul because I accept myself to be the Christ, which is the essence of God. That's factor number two. If you do not accept yourself to be the essence, it will not feed your soul. If you do not permit the mind to rest, you will not experience Christ feeding your soul. But when you find inner peace and the mind is still, the essence that you have accepted to be yourself feeds your soul, lifts your soul through the spiritual universe into Christhood, into the third heaven. Daily, we feed our soul with this method. Now I know, and you know, that your family and your friends do not think of you as the Son of God or as divine essence. They may be much more like the Pharisees, who heard the words of Jesus and witnessed his miracles, and then said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" Their human minds had no way of seeing past his human ancestry or their own. And so it is with even us. Sometimes we are so fooled by our own weaknesses that we cannot rise above our own human ancestry to accept our own divine heritage. We're frightened. And we're even overwhelmed because we're unprepared to cope with divinity. "But who do you say I am?" he asked his disciples. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Oh yes, Peter, but so are you." And that's the step. That's the step mankind has to take and has been afraid to take since the world began. It wasn't Peter who recognized Christ. Oh, no. Only Christ can recognize Christ. It was the Christ of Peter who recognized the Christ of Jesus. And so Christ said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." You see the point? Just as Christ Jesus was not the carpenter's son, Christ Peter was no longer the son of Jonah, the fisherman. And it was upon this rock Christ revealed in Peter to recognize Christ in Jesus that Christ spoke to all of us, saying, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I being the Christ in Jesus, the Christ in Peter, and the Christ in you, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." I will give.
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you recognize not the man or woman you appear to be, but the Son of God, the essence you are, you have discovered the rock of truth, and you have found the keys to your own identity, which is the heaven on earth toward which we are moving. Do you remember the first sentence in the Gospel of Mark? Here it is. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then near the end of John's Gospel, we find this statement. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Saul, after his sight was restored, declared, Christ is the Son of God. Millions have read those words. And yet the world continues to wallow in limitations, in misery, because the world has failed to recognize the two factors which John revealed in his first epistle. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now, if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you are not, you've thrown away the keys to the kingdom. And there's really no way for the treasures of the kingdom to enter your consciousness. You see that? I am the Son of God, the essence of God, the eternal being itself. And so let us now reassess the direction in which we are going. Across this globe today, only God is, and therefore only the essence of God is alive. There's no other life, and there's no other form, and there's no other being. We have one uninterrupted, infinite essence of God. And I am the essence of God. There's no person here named me. And no person there named him or her or it. We are behind the veil of the dream. Not for this moment alone, but to take this consciousness of truth wherever we go. To go to sleep with it at night and to wake up with it in the morning. The infinite essence of God is everywhere. I am the essence of God, called the Son of God. God is living itself, and the world looking at God living itself sees me. Sees you, sees her, sees him. One being, one living essence. One infinite mind. One living consciousness right here, right now. Right where you are. God is conscious. God is alive. Surrender. release me to the living consciousness of God. Because that is the nature of the Son of God. I am the Father and the Father in me, one, eternally. You are feeding your soul. You are following the teaching of your own essence. You are a soul in Christ. Rest. Find your peace. And know that this consciousness can deepen still further, can quicken, can be the background of all that you do in all of the so-called human years ahead. In this soul food is the allness of God, ever present, and your opportunity as the essence of God is simply to rest in your soul and let the essence feed itself into your consciousness so that all of the glorious qualities of your divine self can express from Christ through spirit, through soul, through mind, into the visible world around us. Daily transforming you from a human image to a divine image. You are going to go many places today and tomorrow and the next day, but your essence already is there. And when you know that, before you move the physical form, this consciousness will open the hidden universe into your daily activity. When you know that your essence is where you are, its life-giving substance releases you from human limitations. When you know that your essence is where everyone appears to be, you have introduced another dimension of life into your conscious activity. You have introduced the miracle worker. When you know that your essence is everywhere and really know it, you are in the healing consciousness. When you know that your essence is everywhere, whoever touches you in consciousness in any way must be lifted. Because right where they are, when they come into the consciousness of you, they find you right where they are as invisible essence. When you know that your essence is everywhere, you have begun to move out of the tomb. Out of the fourth day. And you are making a spiritual pilgrimage into the fifth day. Because this essence that you acknowledge in all your ways is God. And this essence does direct your path. And this essence does part the Red Sea. Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden. Accept the essence of God as yourself unconditionally. I will give thee rest, the eternal rest in the eternal heaven, hidden behind the thought of the world. Again, two factors. I am the Son of God, which is the eternal essence of God. Two, I follow only the teaching of my inner essence, which is called Christ. I am a soul in Christ, letting Christ feed the essence of Christ to my soul. I live only now by the word of God within my soul. We'll pause a moment. Very shortly, we shall be ready for our own deeper entry into the New Jerusalem.